Let's turn in God's Word to John's Gospel, chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15. And continuing in Isaiah 5, 1 through 7. We won't be reading that this evening, but looking particularly at John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And before we hear God's Word, let's pray. Our Father, thank You once again for Your Word. Grant to us now to have ears to hear, eyes to see Your Son. Even as we study the sacrament of baptism, we pray especially for those who are not true believers, for those who are of our children and those who have professed faith but are not true believers. We pray especially for them that they would understand their baptism and what they are engaged to, unto. And Father, we ask that You would show mercy to all of us, and build us up in the faith, strengthening us, even now, that Your name would be praised. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 1. These are God's words. I am the true vine, and My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in Me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be My disciples. Those are God's words. And this evening, continuing to study covenant theology, and particularly the covenant of grace, the one covenant of grace, and looking at the administration of the covenant in the sacraments, as Christ administers it unto us, and the sacraments as seals. And remember the last two Lord's Days we have been hearing the sacraments are primarily first seals to Christ, guarantees to Christ as our mediator to support and encourage His faith unto the fulfilling of His duties unto our salvation. And then last Lord's Day that the sacraments are seals to of the covenant of grace to believers. And we looked at the first two sacraments, both of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and now we turn to the New Covenant, the New Testament, to look at the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, the ones that Christ has given to us today, and the church until His return. That is, sacraments are seals that Christ has given to believers, to those who by faith turn truly from their sins unto Jesus Christ for their salvation. Sacraments are seals only to true believers. Not merely those who profess faith, not merely recipients of the sacrament of baptism, and so are children. Only sacraments. Sacraments are only seals, guarantees to all true believers who are truly united to Christ, by which we are established in the covenant, really and completely, physically and spiritually, by divine appointment, as we've already studied. Only those who are in the covenant by a true faith have a right to the sacramental seals, guarantees, to the promises communicated in the sacraments that they are theirs. Those who have true faith, they are guaranteed that those promises communicated or signified in the sign of the sacrament are theirs. And they can have that faith and that hope. They are theirs. This is in distinction in the administration of the covenant, those sacraments as they're applied to receive. Those who receive, everything signified as a sign to all who see and receive them physically, as compared to all true believers. Everybody who receives the sign are those who are true believers and those who are not true believers. Those who profess faith but maybe lie, are deceived, and even then are children as God commands. We'll hear more about that later. But just as they were received by all of God's religious people of Israel and their children, so all sacraments are signs to the same people, to us today, His covenant people, visible. But they are only and really seals, guarantees to true believers who in union with Christ have turned from their sins unto Christ truly for their salvation. And it's by these sacraments as seals, guarantees, that Jehovah solemnly confirms the covenant with true believers and their faith in the grace of the covenant. Confirms their faith in the grace of the covenant. By believing, one comes into the covenant truly and spiritually. And by the sacraments, Jehovah makes it firm, like the signing of a contract. Right? You come, you've made the agreement, and then you sign the contract. And He makes it sure to the believer. To the believer. The covenant itself is not rendered firmer or more sure, as it is perfectly firm and perfectly sure, being from the Lord, being the everlasting covenant. But by the Holy Spirit, the sacraments serve to confirm to our hearts and faith and strengthen our faith as believers by showing and confirming that these are true. If you truly believe, these are the promises for you shown in the sacraments, which shows forth the covenant of grace, the gospel. And so first this evening, and we're only looking this evening at baptism. Baptism, which is to believers under the old covenant, a sign and seal of the same covenant of grace. Like circumcision of the old covenant, baptism is the initiating seal of the new covenant. And instituted in the place of circumcision. Acts 2. It says there, like verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And you'll notice there the same promise we heard last Lord's Day. The same promise given to Abraham and all his seed for circumcision is the same promise given to all believers and to their seed in baptism. And John's baptism, John the Baptist, in his baptism, there it began to be a seal of the covenant of grace. Everything in John's baptism, as we studied previously in Matthew's Gospel a while ago, everything in his baptism included the substance of all the covenant of grace, of what it communicates. And that baptism after Christ's death and resurrection, as administered by the apostles of Jesus Christ, the exact same. The same today when they're administered by ministers of the gospel. Notably and rightly, we don't see the apostles or other Jewish disciples being baptized again after the resurrection, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But baptism was rightly instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ to be a sign and seal of His gracious covenant of grace. And so, firstly, does signify and seal to believers, the first thing, their ingrafting into Christ. Or they're grafting into Christ. They're being grafted into the true vine, John 15. By spiritual and vital union with Him. And so that the according to the covenant of grace and union with Christ, they are imputed with, accredited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Water baptism serves by the Holy Spirit to seal, guarantee, to true believers of their being grafted into Christ by spiritual union with Him. Right, as we read, John 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And then consider Romans 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, Jesus Christ, union with Christ, baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. And so we are jointly grafted into Christ so that we are conformable to His death. In the same way, baptism, water baptism, seals to all true believers the gift of imputation, to credit the righteousness of Christ to them, to all true believers for justification. And we know that that's part of being in union with Jesus Christ, that we are justified. Galatians 3, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so, friends, baptism, like circumcision, is a seal of the righteousness of faith. Romans 4. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. The baptism is the same. And seals the righteousness of faith. Is a seal of the righteousness of faith. Baptism is one of the means of grace that the Holy Spirit uses to confirm true believers' faith, to confirm their union with Christ, and their communion with Him in His blood and righteousness. But not only this, baptism signifies and seals to believers, they're partaking through the blood and Spirit of Christ, partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace. It seals partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace. In particular, it guarantees to all baptized who have a true faith that they have the benefits of regeneration. They have the benefits of justification. They have the benefits of adoption. They have the benefits of the resurrection unto eternal life. You see, the water and baptism, when it's set apart for that sacred sacramental purpose, shows forth as the sign the blood of Jesus Christ poured out, the Spirit of Christ poured out as well. Isaiah 44. Here's another verse to add to your arsenal. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And this is why we apply the water of baptism by pouring. At least one of the reasons. Another reason would be Titus 3 that we'll read later this evening, Lord willing. But baptism signifies as well the sprinkling of blood. We don't want to diminish that by saying it's pouring. It has to be pouring. It can be also sprinkling. Because baptism signifies the sprinkling of the blood applied and the Spirit of Christ to the heart of the cleansing, for the cleansing of guilt and pollution within the sinner who believes in faith, delivering from the power of sin. And so that water baptism applied in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost signifies and seals to true believers, guarantees to them their justification, which includes the remission of sins. Hebrews 8. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Remission of sins. Acts 2, again, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 22. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And so, it shows forth and guarantees their justification, which also includes the remission of sins. It seals, secondly, of that part, it guarantees their adoption into the family of God. Galatians 3. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. 2 Corinthians 6. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now moving on, it seals, it guarantees their regeneration and sanctification by the Spirit of Christ. John 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A few verses later, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Needs the Spirit and regeneration. Titus 3, that we mentioned a moment ago. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Which He shed on us. Shed, that's the same language in the Lord's Supper of pouring. It's the same word, which He shed or poured out abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Holy Spirit being poured out. And then the very next verse, going back to justification and adoption in Titus 3, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs. That's the language of adoption. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so there in Titus 3, a very good passage for seeing most all of those benefits of the covenant of grace to all true believers. Romans 6, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. So the last part there as well, sealing of the benefits of the covenant of grace to all true believers, it guarantees their bodies by that same Holy Spirit will rise unto eternal life. As we just read in Romans 6, the same thing is said, or similar thing in Romans 8. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And so it signifies and seals, baptism does, guarantees the partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace, of regeneration, justification, adoption, sanctification, and the resurrection unto eternal life. And more than this, thirdly, our public and solemn admission into the family of God as members of the bride of Jesus Christ. Baptism seals to all true believers our public and solemn admission into the family of God, being members of the bride of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. All who are baptized are brought publicly into the church of Christ, visible, All are acknowledged to be part of the covenant people of God and the bride of Christ on earth. But for all true believers, baptism actually seals, it guarantees that you are in the very bride of Christ, His mystical body, which cannot be taken away from Him. Which He will not leave or forsake. And all those promises in Romans 8. You have that. And so that all true believers who are present acknowledge their brethren. They acknowledge their brethren that by their baptism, solemnly professing themselves to be incorporated with them, with the church, and all who truly believe as a religious society separated unto the enjoyment and service of their God and Savior Jesus Christ, separated from the world unto service of their God and Savior Jesus Christ. They're brought into the body, truly and really, and there is an acknowledgement from other true believers that this one, if they truly believe, are part of that body. That same eternal body. Acts 2. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them. Right? There's that religious society. Unto them were added about 3,000 souls. And moreover, water baptism, fourthly I think it is, seals to them who truly believe, guarantees their engagement to be the Lord's. Their engagement to be the Lord's. In baptism, each recipient solemnly professes their faith in the declarations of the gospel, while solemnly dedicating themselves and all they have to be the Lord for the purpose of His glory. 1 Corinthians 6. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Right, you're sealing, you're guaranteeing that you are the Lord's. Romans 6 again. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. From Ephesians 4. And so in application, just as circumcision is once applied, so baptism is the same to be once applied, because there is one baptism and the same in substance, one and the same unto recipients, which are believers together with their children, which we have before proved about the children from 1 Corinthians 7. And so by their baptism, to all true believers, their great duty is to then be completely and only and eternally the Lord's. Not anyone else's. This is all represented and confirmed to believers and their seed, their offspring. And to all true believers is made sure of in your life. It is your great duty, if you're a true believer, that you are not only professing, but you really are. How you think, how you live, how you feel, that you are the Lord's. And it confirms through the sacrament of baptism that you are His. And then finally, baptism signifies and seals to all true believers their engagement to promote holy fellowship with the church and the bride of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 again, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Right, baptism confirms our obligation, our duties here, according to the covenant of grace, to have and to hold fellowship and communion with Christ's bride, even the visible church of Christ. For we have that obligation to be one body, not only with the invisible church, all true believers, but with the visible church, unto a visible communion with the same professing believers and their children. And that even not just of this congregation, but to all believers professing in the churches throughout the world. And so, friends, baptism as an initiating seal into the covenant of grace and the covenant people of God on earth, the visible church, it is only a seal to true believers. It is a sign to all who receive it and to all who see it. But it is a seal, a guarantee, only to true believers. Guaranteeing to true believers, they're grafting into Christ in union with Him, that we have, all true believers, have all the benefits of the covenant of grace, including but not limited to regeneration, justification, adoption, sanctification, even the resurrection unto eternal life. It guarantees to true believers our solemn admission into the family of God as members of the mystical body of Christ. It seals, it guarantees, it confirms our engagement to be the Lord's, that we are His, and also that we are engaged to, in our duty, to promote and engage as one church, the fellowship and communion with all professing people and covenant people, even our children, in the visible church. Now, friends, at this point, we need to take a pause from going through the sacraments and keep thinking about baptism for a moment, so we won't address the Lord's Supper yet, but rather address not only the children, but all of you who have been baptized. You remember in addressing the administration of the covenant of grace that there are covenant breakers. Covenant breakers, people who break covenant with Jehovah. And we saw that not only in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, but also in the New Testament, under the New Covenant. In our time, in the church today, there are covenant breakers. We have already established that, and children, especially, and all who have been baptized, you must know that there are greater judgments if the sacrament of baptism has been applied to you, the sign signifying all those things we just looked at and considered, one's engrafting in the Christ, the remission of sins by His blood, regeneration of our hearts, adoption as heirs, resurrection unto eternal life. You see, at your baptism, even if a small child, your baptism as a baby, you don't even remember your baptism, somebody of you. You don't remember because you were so young. But your parents would testify of it, your grandparents would testify of it. You receive there the sacrament of baptism, children. Not because of your parents did you receive baptism. The water coming down upon your head was not because of your parents, but because the Lord engaged you and declared you as a part of His visible church to obey Him. He declared to all the church that you children must be baptized. And how could the church then disobey God's command? And how could the parents disobey God's command? We can't do that. And so you were baptized because the Lord engaged you, children, and declared to you that you are part of His visible church on earth. The covenant people of God, with the signs and signifying gospel truths that we just looked at in the covenant of grace. And as you are baptized, you children, not your parents, all of you who were baptized in that moment, adults, children, all of you who were baptized in that moment, there was that sign that came upon you that you were engaged in that, the waters of baptism coming down, that you were engaged only to be the Lord's, to be His only, to worship Him only, to believe on Him, on His Son Jesus Christ for your salvation. That's what you did when you were baptized in the waters of baptism. You go back to circumcision. It was the same thing. Genesis 17. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And as we've studied this sacrament and all sacraments, we know divide. They divide. They show forth a division between God's covenant people who receive the sacraments and those who do not, those of the world. Those who are engaged to be the Lord's, because the Lord said, that one must be engaged to be mine because he is mine. He is being set apart as holy unto me. And those who are not engaged, even from before all eternity, God engaged you children to be His, as His covenant people. Romans 6, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so if you've been baptized by the waters of baptism, then you engage. It doesn't matter if you were dunked, immersed, sprinkled, poured, even though immersion is not as good of a sign. It still happened. If you've been baptized in the waters of baptism, then you are engaged according to the command, the eternal decree of the Lord to be His. And how did that come to be upon you children? Now you don't even remember when you were baptized. It's because of the Lord's decree, the eternal decree of God and His providence that He gave you your parents, and your parents believed on the salvation, and you're a covenant child. It's all by His providence that you're engaged to be His, to serve, and you have this obligation to serve the Lord alone. And so you're part of the covenant people of God by birth and by profession, some of you, and because the Lord from all eternity engaged you. Now most people today make covenants and they break them very easily. They make contracts and they break those covenants. They look at marriages and divorces. And even in the church, horrendous how many divorces there are. Which God hates divorce. And there's a reason that God hates divorce, because He hates covenant breaking. And we've seen that before in with Joshua. And then when Saul broke that covenant, and David and Samuel, for Israel, there was a famine in the land because of the covenant the people broke. He hates covenant breaking. He judges covenant breaking. Well, how strong are covenants? Genesis 15. The covenant of grace we studied in that passage, where Abraham believed in the righteousness of Christ, was credited to him, imputed to him, because he had believed. And how sure were the covenant promises? Well, the Lord takes the animals, has Abraham split them in two, and He, the Lord, Jehovah, goes between them and goes between them of Himself, but also goes between them on behalf of Abraham. On behalf of Abraham. And so Jehovah there declaring that He will keep His promises, all of His covenant promises, and grant to Abraham and to all his seed the benefits and blessings of the covenant of grace in Christ alone. And if He would not, if Jehovah would not keep His promises, He would become like those animals in a way, right? He would be judged. He would become dead. That's what He was declaring. Of course, God is always faithful. and he will never break his promises. But so too, as the Lord walked through or went through those animal carcasses as they were split in two, taking that covenant, he took it on behalf of Abraham too. So that not only promised and sealed, guaranteed to Abraham the blessings of the covenant, having a true faith in the Lord because Christ would come and be sent by the Father. And all those covenant blessings and benefits would be to him. God would, we would say, keep his end of the deal perfectly. But also, Abraham was guaranteed, sealed, the blessings of the covenant if he continued in his faith, but also were promised there curses. Curses in the breaking of the covenant. If Jehovah would break it, which he can't, he would be split like the split animals. But so too Abraham, for here Abraham was, or there Abraham was engaged in covenant obligations. And if he were not faithful, if he did not continue in faith, if he would rebel, if he would be cursed like those animals and split in two. And so friends, if you have been baptized, doesn't matter how old you are or when it happened, if you have been baptized, you are engaged to be the Lord's. He's engaged you to be his, and so you must come unto him. By faith, turning from your sins. All of you who have not professed faith, not come, become communicant members, communing members of the Church of Jesus Christ, coming into Christ, coming unto Christ by faith. Children, if you having been baptized, engaged to be the Lord's, if you do not come to Christ by faith, then unto you are greater judgments than the world will ever know. And the people out there in the world will ever know. This is a very solemn thing to consider. Because the Lord of all eternity, Jehovah, engaged you to be His. He engaged you to be His. And if you rebel against Him, when He doesn't do that with everybody, and if you reject Him, then there are greater judgments that will come. For the world doesn't have the worship of God. The Word of God read and preached. The sacraments applied and seen and partaken of that declare to us all the substance of the covenant of grace. And the benefits and blessings of the covenant of grace are found in alone in Christ Jesus. They have none of that. Some of them will, according to God's eternal decree, never hear the glorious good news of Jesus Christ. Those who do will be judged greater than those who do not. Because they had heard it. They had the word spoken to them. But the Lord will judge them to eternal death. Even if they don't hear, they will be judged. If they do hear, they will be judged all the more. But what about those of you who have been baptized? Children who have been baptized, and all of you who come to worship the Lord, and those who profess faith publicly, not only the children, we're not just talking to the children here, but those who profess faith publicly, but are deceiving themselves, or deceiving all of us, deceiving the elders. Children, you are to listen here as well. All of you who have been baptized are part of the visible on earth covenant people of God by Christ's appointment from all eternity. And if you rebel against Jehovah, against the King Jesus Christ, then great will be the judgments and curses of God towards you, all the more than those of the world. Because to you, Hebrews 6, as we heard before, for it is impossible for those who are once enlightened by God's word to have tasted the heavenly gift in worship and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost in baptism and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put Him to an open shame, For the earth which drinketh in the rain and that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. It's the same in Isaiah 5 of the wild grapes. He made you children, and those who profess faith who are deceiving us, He made you children to be His. And if what He has made you to be doesn't turn out with good fruit and be grapes, then we've seen in Isaiah 5 how He responds in judgment. But how much more stricter and harsh of judgment will come upon those who are part of the covenant people of God? We see it throughout the Scripture. We've already considered it from Israel and Judah many times. Even under the new covenant, we just read Hebrews 6, read it again in Hebrews 10. Consider the truth that the Lord has seen fit to reveal to all of you covenant people of God, you children also who have been so baptized with the waters of baptism. He says, Hebrews 10, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. We might even say their baptism. Wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, he's saying this to the church. He's warning the church. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so then hear the challenge of Jesus Christ to you from Isaiah 28. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. To only understand the report, it will be a vexation. And so rebellion against Christ. If children, you and any who profess faith, children, if you rebel against Christ today, if you rebel against Christ, if you profess faith, and you rebel against Him, and you've been rebelling against Him, children, pay attention, and you are rebelling against Him now, then turn to Him in faith. Turn yourselves unto King Jesus to save you from your sins and your rebellion. Commit your lives, your ways to Christ today, lest you reject Him and be found a covenant breaker and under the great judgments that come upon those that we just read about, who were in covenant with Him, who He engaged to be His, and they rejected Him. The glorious King of heaven and earth calls you to faithfulness to your baptism, to the covenant promises declared forth in your baptism, to all who truly believe. What a great blessing to have sealed and guaranteed unto you in baptism, in your baptism, being brought into the covenant people of God, that you're grafted in to be in union with Christ forever, that you are a recipient of the benefits and blessings of the covenant of grace, of salvation, that you have entered solemnly into the family of God, As members of the Church of Christ, you've been engaged to be the Lord's forever, to promote as one of your duties a holy fellowship in the church visible today. And so he calls you to faithfulness to your baptism today, which means what? It means you must repent of your sins and believe on Him. And that not of yourselves, but a gift of God. You must come unto Him and believe and turn from your sins. What a joy, Christians! What a joy to have in hope of the great blessing and benefit of being a child of God in the resurrection unto the eternal life to come. But it's only children, only adults, for those who turn from their sins in faith to Jesus Christ to save them, they only have guaranteed to them in the seals of baptism and the sacrament of baptism. They only have guaranteed to them all the benefits and blessings of the covenant of grace. And so we are to have that joy, have that hope. If you're a true believer, then have that joy and hope based upon Jehovah's covenant promises, secured by the very death of His Son on the cross and sealed by His resurrection from the dead on the third day. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank You for Your covenant promises. We're thankful that You are eternally faithful and You will never break Your promises. And You are always true. Father, we pray for any here who do not know You, who have not repented truly of their sins and believed on faith. Each one who's been baptized. Oh, Father, we ask that You would turn their hearts today to You, to cause them to repent of their sins and believe on Christ Your Son for their salvation. That they would be, and they would have sealed unto them through that baptism they partook in. They would have that seal, the guarantee, that all the benefits and blessings of the covenant of grace are theirs. That they would be sure that they are grafted into Christ as into the true vine and be engaged to be His forever. Be part of the family of God. Have the remission of sins. And all these things that we've heard this evening. We pray it would be true of each one of us. From those in the womb all the way to the oldest amongst us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.